Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com. Back in the chair. We have not been on in, I think, about 5 months. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is John Almada. I'm out here in the western United States of California, the state of California. We are just doing a shakedown show. Officially, we'll be on the air tomorrow, but I needed to actually get in the studio and shake the cobwebs off. And we did a refit of the studio. A whole bunch of new things have happened. And I have been off dealing with family illnesses and things like that. Got plenty to talk about tonight. We're going to be on for 1 hour, 1 hour only. And we will be taking calls at the 9:45 Pacific, roughly 14 minutes from now. But I do have a co-host with me, and I'll be bringing her on, Brenda. My good friend Brenda volunteered to come help me out making sure the studio worked. And I'm going to be talking a bit about, in the next couple of days, I'm going to be talking about all sorts of things, all sorts of different topics, ranging from, mediumship, of course, which, I am a medium. And I'll be getting back into my readings as of next week. So, tomorrow, today and tomorrow will be shows that are kind of all about everything that's gone on, catching up with friends, people dialing in. And then next week I'm going to get hot and heavy into reading people and get back into my shoes where I talk to the other side. And believe me, lots has been going on. But anyway, I am going to bring my friend Brenda on. Let's see if she's there. Brenda, come in, Brenda, come in.
I am here.
She is here. Everyone, behold my friend Brenda. Make it so.
Hello, John.
Hello. I've been doing, in case you don't know, I'm a huge Trekkie fan, and a lot of that kind of permeates my speaking. There's some medium on the bridge. We've got to read these people. Save them from the Enterprise. Bring them on to the bridge. I'm sorry, I'm just going off. But hey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. I'm glad to be back on the air with you.
I'm glad to have you on the air. We've both been through quite a year, you've been going through your stuff, and same with me here, and mainly, actually, not so much me, although, my mother has been going through it, with the illnesses and things, since my dad passed. So it's been a kind of a roller coaster, and every time I think I'm about ready to get back on, things take another turn. So I never know quite what's going to happen, but I've had the support of some very good friends, you included. And it's just good to be back sitting in front of this chair, which I thought I might never do again. So, it was weird. I came in this, about an hour ago to fire up the studio, and I had one whole channel out on my audio chain. So I'm sitting there tracing wires, going, "Well, damn, this ain't right." And it turned out I had a bad cable, and I've got it. I actually have it held together with a rubber band right now.
Oh my God.
So, so we'll do anything to get on the air. Right now it's using rubber bands. So this show is powered by everything from electrical tape to rubber bands to just, sweat equity. But
so
what's going on in your world?
You didn't even have a zip tie available? You had to use a rubber band?
Oh, the rubber band was just, I saw that and I went, this will work. I just wrapped it around. It's got a, the RCA connector in the back of my, I have a Behringer Autocom Pro XL audio computer, and that lets me see control kind of different spacings of silence, you know, in my voice. It does a bunch of processing on my voice. It gives me that radio voice. I never really sound like this in real life. Here, let me switch it off. My real voice is like this. No, never mind. It's perfectly fine. But yeah, I you know, the RCA plug on the left channel just went bad, and it was the wire broke inside the connector, inside the cable. So I found out if I just bend it and then, you know, wrap it, it works. So I went, well, until I can solder a new connector on, that's the way it's going to be. But, yeah, chewing gum, Special Family Connection says chewing gum works well, too.
Chewing gum and paper clubs.
That, too. Yeah, but what are you doing these days, my dear?
Well, I'm actually going to be going to back to school in February for medical assisting.
All right.
So that'll be interesting.
You're going to be the one that has the bottles, and you say y'all already clear.
No, taking blood pressures and stuff like that.
Oh, damn. You don't get the exciting part, dang.
No.
Well, medical, but you know, it's a good honest job.
Yeah, it is, and it's a pretty secure area to find employment in. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, and I would really like to get back into doing private readings myself later on after the beginning of the year. So.
Well.
I'll have to
good.
Put the yeah. I'll have
yeah,
to put the word out there when I start.
Well, I'll bring you on, and we'll be doing readings together. So you know, you've always got an open forum here, and
wonderful.
It's just yeah, and you know, it's just been quite a thing. I mean, I really thought, you know, when I lost my father in 2012, that I really understood death. Being a medium, and I found out I got my butt kicked. And it's just really you really get a firsthand introduction to what people really are feeling when they call you trying to reach their loved one on the other side. And I really am deeply humbled by the whole thing, you know, especially now that, you know, my mother is she was a primary caregiver.
Right.
And my dad got so bad, and at the end, my dad, actually the very end, he kind of snapped out of it for a couple of months, and we were able to say everything that needed to be said. But there for about a year and a half, it was quite an adventure because his mental state was very unbalanced, and we went through quite a bit, and a lot of you took that journey with me on the air as we led up to that point. But after... what is this on the same here and please respond? I don't know what that means. So I'm calling in to share my story. Well, we're going to take calls in a bit, so I'll definitely think about having you guys on. But hang in there because we're just getting our sea legs going. But anyway, yeah, it's just been it's been quite a ride, you know. And and there's been a lot of, wow, you, Summer, you use really big fonts, you know that? I mean, you don't think, I mean, I'm looking and I go, wow, those things are big. Well, it's just big. I mean, it's really big. I mean, I'm looking at the screen and suddenly I'm seeing this giant message on. Oh, boy, I got a feeling. I'm going to check this out and look at the I'm going to look at the BTR profile here. Oh, I got a feeling it's one of those. So I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. We have quite a few folks who, like, take a great joy in causing all sorts of mayhem. And I'm just going to go ahead and take care of this. And the same thing here. Let me just see what these folks are doing. It's good to be back on the air, and good to realize, too, that things are not Have not changed much on BTO.
I was just going to say, I mean, you go off the air for several months, you would think that things would have changed a little bit.
No. I mean, you know, especially when you advertise the show, you're going to draw all kinds of interesting folks and things like that. So, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to go out on BTR and establish an account. And, you know, it's when you see the accounts that have no, they haven't been filled out, there's no personalization, it kind of tells you something, you know. So, I mean, I really check before I just pull somebody on and just let them in. And if it gets bad enough with the caller issues, what I'll be doing is I had some time to think about it during my few months off. I will probably end up taking a list of callers ahead of time, and I will be doing the calling here from the control board. And
that's
actually a really good idea. Yeah, I think it'll be, but you know, it's just refreshing to know that things have not changed one bit.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, it's funny. I've run into some very interesting people and had a lot of interesting experiences too. I don't know about you with the you know your connection to the other side, but a lot of stuff going on here at the house, especially starting in about September, we started seeing more and more spirits around again, and they seem to be congregating around my mother. You know, and I'm noticing when I do see them, they're generally in the living room, and one of them I think is my father, and mom occasionally she senses them, and she's a medium, and she will report. What I'll do is I'll see something, and I just make a note of the time and date, and then later on I'll wait because she'll always tell me when she's seen something, and then we compare notes, and a lot of that has been going on. So I do think that there are family members kind of watching mom, you know. And it's good to know that they're there, you know. But it's been an adventure. The other things that are going on are lots of dreams. Have you been dreaming quite a bit?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me about some of your dreams.
You know, it's kind of weird. I lose a lot of the dreams as I wake up. Like, it's really heavy on my mind right when I wake up, and then I start losing pieces of it. But the dreams I've been having are very fragmented and kind of, like, I know the one I had last night was about water. And not really drowning, but just there was a lot of water present in the dream. I can't really remember a whole lot of it after I've been up for about 15 minutes or so. But I still have that feeling of the intensity. So I know that whatever it was intense. But
yeah, it's not unusual. There's actually a biochemical reason for that, for losing the memories, because your dreams, when you first wake up, they're all encoded in short-term memory, and we're designed not to totally remember them.
Really?
It just seems that it's a structure of the brain, but it can be a learned thing. So if you ask your subconscious, if you just physically take a moment and ask your subconscious, I'd like to remember more of what I'm dreaming about, you will find that you do remember more. And I actually started doing that, and as I was starting to see more spirits, I was also getting things going on with the other side kind of busting my chops to get back and basically get off my ass and get back in front of the chair. And so I started doing that, and it was funny because I started having these strange dreams, and one of them was, I vividly remember it, I was actually in a military unit. And
really?
I was flying on this kind of a strange cross between a plane and a car. And we were being shot at by these airships. They were big airships. And so we were diving in between and getting to shoot at each other and avoiding the bullets. And then they were killing each other off. And we thought we were high and mighty. And, hey, look at what we did to these guys. And then I woke up. and I'm thinking, what in the hell is that about? You know, but I mean, and it's just that sort of strange dream that, you know, the completely asinine, strange subjects. But, you know, when you start researching it, there's some sensible reasons, that, you know, stories that are behind this and symbolism. So just take note of your dreams, you know, and those of you listening in the audience. And I see friends out there. I see JB34. I got Karen Kinsell is there. My friend Karen on Facebook. Hi there. Special family connection. We got Universe 23. The universe. The entire universe is listening to my show tonight. You and me are being listened to by the universe. Universe 23. And what happened to the other 22? I'd like to know. All right. And let's see. We got Bill Bumpner and guest 7819. You are from France. And we have this HGF1. Come in. This is HGF1 from Transatlantic Station. All right. So I'm kind of going off the deep end. But, you know, I really thought that tonight that we wouldn't even have anybody stop in. So it's really good to have you guys on for this before the show.
I'm really surprised by that, too, because you didn't, you didn't really post that you were actually going to be on the air. You just kind of made a comment about having a test show.
Yeah, it's just good to be remembered out there. So, hey guys, thanks for stopping by. Some weird things going on though too. There's been some subjects that I've gotten into, and I don't know why, but I suddenly got the urge about 3 months ago to begin listening to distant AM radio stations, and I started a whole hobby of getting into that, and it turns out that AM radio, especially in my family, my grandfather owned radio stations out in Missouri and had AM and FM stations out there, and my dad was a disc jockey for a while. Kind of come by that naturally, don't I? We have the radio voice.
Was he really?
He was a great way to meet girls, and he met a lot, but he met one. Because I wouldn't see her. What's that?
Was he like the Dr. Johnny Fever type?
I don't know. Knowing my father, he probably was something like that, but it was a 50s version of it, you know. But he said it was great. I mean, he was in high school, and here he was on the radio, and he had women falling all over him, and he said it was a grand old time back there in Kansas. So, you know, it's funny, I started getting into this, and I've been logging stations from across the United States and eventually across quite a bit of the world, because I've been getting international stations. During this time of year, the signals propagate quite a long ways across the planet. And so if you really know what you're doing, you can pull in these really far away shows, you know, off in Japan and you know, Australia and Europe and all that kind of thing. Well, I didn't understand why. You're going to like this part. I was sitting there going, why the hell did I get into this? And suddenly I realized, you know, AM radio distant listening is called DXing, distance listening. And then I realized that it was also called medium wave broadcast band. And I suddenly realized medium, damn it. And so the other side kind of getting on my case again, and I just started to laugh. I went, okay, I get it, guys, I get it. I'll get back on the radio. But I've also been studying, and tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock Pacific time, tomorrow morning, I will be taking my ham radio exam for my technician class license, and then I'll be actually doing broadcast work in addition to my receiving. I'll be actually here in Studio A. Just behind me is my whole ham radio setup that I'm building. So kind of like Art Bell, you know. We're broadcasting from the Kingdom of Nye out here. You know. West of the Rockies, call in. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But, you know, there's just so much interesting technology, you know, being here on this side, that you can get into that the other side is also plugged into. And I don't understand the whole reasoning why I'm doing this, but I'm just going with the flow. I'm having a ball with it, so I'm going to do that. So you'll see pictures of me doing my thing. I'm going to load some of that stuff up in upcoming shows. You'll see pictures of the studio and me sitting in the chair. The other thing that's going on is I've been paying attention to my health, and I am now down a little over 11 pounds on this fast metabolism diet. And my clothes are fitting a lot better, and I'm feeling better. But I've noticed I got more energy. And I really didn't think this was really going to work well, but we're just eating what this strange thing called food, real food, and I'm eating five times a day and drinking lots of water. Make sure to get I've got my obligatory water right behind me. Just have to turn around and grab it if I want a piece of water, a drink of water. I cannot talk today, rented lips, you know. So, you know, it's kind of a time, I think right now I'm just kind of getting myself back in gear and, you know, realizing it's time to get serious about all this stuff. So I'll be doing more medium shift. You know, I'm going to do a show tomorrow, talk show. We're going to be talking a bit about UFOs and paranormal phenomena. So I'm going to invite callers tomorrow to call in and talk about that. And for those of you who do want to dial in, tonight and maybe talk a little bit about some of those subjects, I'm going to basically open it up here in just about, you know, 5 minutes and open up. And if you have a story about some paranormal experience or some UFO thing, definitely call on in and let's talk about it, because I'd like to hear some of your experiences. And tomorrow I'm going to do some crossover, because a lot of these UFOs that are seen are like red balls or yellow or blue. And they look like just a glowing light that flies around and just speeds off. And we see a lot of the same thing in paranormal work. And I think that there's probably some crossover where maybe these are one and the same. So you know, just like to hear other people's stories and just kind of start kind of plugging into that.
I got major chills when you said that.
I think there's something to it.
I think you're onto something with that.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting because I was into the AMDXing, listening to distant stations the other day, last week, and I pop onto 6:40 a.m. and about this about 2 hours, it was 1 week ago, at about 11 o'clock or 11:30, and I bump into this show called Restricted Airspace, and I'm going to put this URL up for you guys. She's going to be on tonight, and she's a hell of a broadcaster. I'm really impressed with her. And so I listened to the show, and I just thought it was great because she's kind of all over the map, and she's kind of like a female Art Bell, but has her own really cool style. And what ended up happening was I friended her on Facebook. Well, the next day, I see she's friended me back, and she pops on my wall and says that. What was it? She says, anybody who would put a picture of the original Battlestar Galactica on their page is cool in my book, and I want to get to know you. So we got talking back and forth, and when she found out I was a host, she's talking about next month, if she likes what she hears with me in the next few days. I think she's going to be listening tomorrow night. If she's on and does listen, she said that there's a shot that I might actually end up on her show, which is nationally syndicated. So I thought, well, what the hell, it'd be fun. You know, I'm hoping it's a subject matter. I'm definitely not trying to play to her, per se, but what I am trying to do is kind of, you know, throw it out there that, hey, we're not all about just mediumship and all that, and get her, draw her in and see what she thinks. And she's got a hell of an interesting audience, so... we'll be doing more of that kind of thing, you know, in the coming year. I'm not just going to limit it to the subjects we're always used to. Mix it up a little. Have a little fun with it. It's my show. I can do this. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines and see. I know we've got I've got somebody named Faree. Yeah, Faree. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on and see what they've got. And I'm going to be ready on the tree. I'm always ready on the trigger finger here to knock them off in case we have some trouble. But I did like identifying those two scoundrels and sending them packing earlier. Anyway, FireyHD, I think. We're going to bring him on. Hello, you're on Soul Stream.
Hey. Hi, I really love your show, but I sort of have a paranormal story here.
Okay.
For the past year or so now, I've been going through these strange things. Like, sometimes I hear things like the devil is coming or 666, or sometimes I even see things like I see like a bird type being that has weird wings and it has like a horn.
You know what? I think we got ourselves another one. So I don't think we're going to go there. So I'm just going to leave them on hold. That's nice. That's a nice story.
Good.
I mean, if you're seeing that, Betty, I really love I love a tall tale, the best of them. But if you're seeing that, you need some real paranormal help, and I wish you the best.
Exactly.
But I'm not the guy to do it tonight. I'm just trying to shake down my studio. So if you've got a real story, if you've got something that you really want to share with us, please feel free to come on and talk about it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some things I've had experiences with from a UFO perspective. And then, if you've had anything, Brenda.
I have actually.
You have? Go ahead now. Tell us your story.
I really haven't talked much about it because, to be perfectly honest with you, of all the paranormal things that you can read about and study, that is the one that scares me the most. And I've always sort of believed that if you start reading things and studying things, then you bring it towards you. So it's one that I've always kind of tried to stay away from because I've always had a fear, and I'm not really sure why. I've always had such a strong fear of it. But when I was probably in about the sixth grade, I was walking to the school bus one morning, and it was just right before sunrise. So the sky was still pretty gray, and I saw what almost looked like a lotus blossom that kind of opened up in the sky, and it was really weird. It was like this petal thing that just sort of opened, and it was all lit up, and then it kind of just, it wasn't like any type of a craft or anything. It was just almost like a flower. It was really strange. And it opened up, and then it kind of twisted back kind of clockwise, pulled into itself, and kind of just pulled up into the sky and disappeared. And as I was walking,
that is wild.
Yeah, and I've never really talked about it before because it terrified me when I saw that, because I was by myself, and I was kind of like, what was that? And I've never forgotten it, and I've never really talked about it before. But I've also had some really – go ahead, John.
Well, it's funny because that's a really common kind of report. And one
Is
of the
it?
Things with UFO sightings – yes, absolutely. There's been since the – UFOs have been seen since the dawn of time with human beings recording them even in cave paintings. But what was interesting with a lot of reports in the contemporary times, in the 20th century and here into the 21st, is that there are these photographs and personal experiences people have had of seeing the phenomena that you're talking about, kind of this flower petal kind of a look to a craft and the image, and the air around it, like there's an energy stream or something. And there's been some photographs I saw where someone actually caught this and took a series of photographs. And what it looks like, and some of the analysis I saw from some very, very well-informed people in the physics community, they believe what's happening is you're seeing the effect of, for lack of a better word, a warp field or the ability of this craft to travel interdimensionally, or go through wormholes. And when that happens, it creates this kind of a flowery look around the ship. And in the middle of the whole thing, the ship actually disappears into this, and then it leaves behind a short display of light and energy, and then boom, it's gone. What you saw, is really similar to that. The other more conventional explanation, which I have also seen, and luckily I saw it with my father, who was a propulsion scientist. My father designed rocket nozzles for the big stuff. You know, Minuteman, Polaris, he did all kinds of work on all sorts of programs. And Dad even caught a mistake on the service module main engine for the Apollo, and it turned into a real big fight. And with some personalities that had big egos and didn't want to check their math. And when he proved them wrong in front of quite a few interesting people, he ended up saving the manned moon mission. My father did that.
Wow.
But him and I were driving to the post office up here in Shingle Springs, and we saw a bright light and realized we were watching a launch from Vandenberg. And that's south of us, you know, a couple hundred miles. And we watched the launch, and then we saw the most amazing thing was the first stage separated from the, you know, from the second stage. And this
wow.
beautiful cloverleaf pattern appeared, and it was the most exquisite thing. It just looked wonderful. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And it just left this little radiating pattern. It looked like a four-leaf clover up in the night sky. And it was just something I'll never forget. My father was just sitting there going, wow. And I go, Dad, you've been doing this all your life, and you've never seen that? And he goes, no, not like that. And it was like, hey, you know, it was good. So we had this little privileged moment, you know, father and son, to see this. And knowing the man, you know, and what he, and the things he did, but, you know, he still had the capacity for wonderment with even tools that we built, you know. So what I'm saying is I don't think that what you saw was that. I think that you saw something that was an unknown. And so, you know, it's a very privileged thing.
It's the oddest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that since then. Because it was kind of like the sky kind of opened up, but but not really, because you could still see the sky like through the middle of it. It was just weird. And then it just turned and kind of folded up into itself and just disappeared.
That is wild.
Yeah.
It just fits it so well. I mean, and where was this at? I mean, and what time frame? I mean, year approximately?
Well, I grew up in Orangevale, so it was actually, I was walking to the school bus in Orangevale, and it was probably, I would say probably about 6:30 or so in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I've always had this thing about waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't really know what that is, but I've always, at certain times I will wake up right at 4 o'clock in the morning and I kind of have this odd feeling like I've been somewhere. It's kind of hard to explain. But it's always the same time in the morning. And I always kind of have sort of like this disoriented feeling like I've been, like I was taken out of my bed or something like that. It's a very odd feeling.
Well, you know, I mean, astral travel will do that. I mean, especially in dreaming, in the dream state, a lot of people do astral travel, and it's very likely, you know, with your gifts, it would not be surprising to find that you were doing that. I mean, because consciousness is not necessarily tied to the body, and it's one of the great discoveries of all time that surprises people a lot. I mean, you know, you think that, you know, you're actually in your mind. Your physicality of your consciousness is in your mind, and it's a real shock when you know, like the experience I had when I was in the hospital and I was having atrial fibrillation. I was having a coronary event, you know, back in 1988. And it was March of 88, and I ended up I was in real trouble. And they gave me digoxin, and I had a bad reaction to it, as they were going to try to stimulate my heart to beat normally again. And my blood pressure crashed, and I went, I just kind of started seeing lights and the whole bit. And the next thing I knew, I was outside of my body. And I'm looking at myself and the nurse who was working on me, and she's yelling, you know, to me, and I was like, I was listening through rushing water, and she says to me, she says, it's okay, you know, and the exact thought I had is, this is bullshit, you know, it's not okay because you're not the one having this experience. And I'm looking at myself, and then all of a sudden, before I knew it, I was back in my body, and the moment passed, and I was actually, you know, started pulling out of it. And 4 hours later, I actually went through my event where I converted, and my heart, it felt like somebody hit me right in the chest, and then my heart started beating normally again. And,
wow.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the event that got me into doing all this kind of research and stuff, because I became aware that, you know, consciousness is not a physical thing. It's not tied to the physical body. It can be independent of it. And so,
right.
You know, it's this whole notion that people have that somehow they're always in their mind. That's a nice illusion, but that's not how things really are, you know, and I've lived it. I've seen it, you know. But I think a lot of us, if you do the research, a lot of us leave our bodies at night and we go traveling. And I think in your case, you know, as a medium, you travel quite a bit. And I think that flying dream I had was an indicator that I was off doing my thing. And
right.
And the battles I was having, I think symbolically, were with myself, you know, realizing that I needed to get over some things and get back in the chair. So, you know, but, you know, the UFO part, the thing that I have had a couple of experiences, but nothing that would qualify as anything other than unknowns. And that leaves the possibility open that they're explainable. I've seen two triangular craft appear. Back in about 1999 to 2000 time frame, came home from work one night, worked a late shift, got out of my car. It was a fall, and I heard these strange. It was an aircraft for sure, but when I heard it, it had the strangest sound I've ever heard. It was kind of an odd, high pitched noise that was not normal jet noise. And when I looked, at about 2,500, maybe to 3,000 feet up would be my estimate. And it's really hard to do that at night, you know, really to judge distance, but I had to guess that would be it. Fairly large craft, and it was triangular shaped and black against the night sky, so it was blotting out stars, and you could see the outline, you know, against the sky glow. And so I took note of it. It was coming from the south and heading to the north. You know, and right straight towards Polaris. I mean, I was looking up. I know the night sky like the back of my hand. I know the stars. So it's shooting dead north, you know, due north. And I came in and I told my folks about it, and they kind of poo-pooed that. And then I had to go back out to my car for something. And when I went back out about a half hour later, I saw it again, another one. Same exact thing and same exact noise. And I was standing there with my mouth open going, what the hell? So I don't know if I saw some sort of military traffic or I saw an actual, you know, alien craft or what. But what I know is what I saw. And what I saw was this triangular large craft moving at a respectable clip and making a noise I've never heard before in an aircraft. And I know aircraft. I mean, I've flown aboard all kinds of ones. I've even piloted a fighter plane. You know, back in 2010, I had my shot at fighter pilot glory in a Chinese CJ-6 fighter plane. And I pulled 3.4 Gs, by the way, and did aerobatics. And I only threw up when I landed. I'm real proud of myself. I threw up two seconds after we hit the deck, but I did not lose it in the air. So there's some things there, but the other thing I saw was back in the 1970s. It was about 1977, 76 time frame, and I was in the town of Roseville at that time. And McClellan Air Force Base was in full swing back then. There was always lots of military traffic going around, and I was used to the airplanes, so I knew kind of what was up there. And one night I'm out in the front yard just, you know, I mean, you know, it's a big city. You know, you're expecting not to see what I saw. And I saw a cigar-shaped craft that had, I could not identify wings on it. And I could not make sense of what I was seeing. It had kind of the look of a jet airliner, but it was dusk. And I really looked for wings and I couldn't see any. And it was utterly silent. It made no sound. And I watched that for 30 seconds. It traveled really slow. It was just sitting there going across the horizon and heading to the southwest. and it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. No noise, zero zip. You know, you would always hear jet noises, you know, from the traffic heading into McClellan, which is about, you know, 6-7 miles to, you know, the south of me, and
right.
at that time. And so I have no clue what I saw. I don't know if I saw, I was seeing a jet, and because of whatever reason, I didn't hear it, and I couldn't see the wings because it was dusk. But I really tried to look for that. And the thing was, is I had a telescope. That's why I was out there. I was doing some astronomy. And I trained in on it, and I could not see wings. So I don't know
wow.
what I was seeing. You know, and the unfortunate thing, it was twilight, so I wasn't able to get a lot of definition out of it. So, it, you know, it's an unknown. You know, but
right.
people see these things. Hey, I'm going to take a minute. It's 10:10. We got only about 20 minutes left on this test show, and I'm so pleased to see so many of my friends have shown up. Oh, my goodness. We've got friends out there. I love those friends. I'm just a lad from Liverpool. Let's see. We've got Bill Bumpner. Hi, Bill. We've got Breath of Terra. Hello. I think I know who you are. I think you might live out somewhere near Arizona. I think maybe. I think that's who it is. Hey, John. Yep. She's going, yeah, you do. There I go. I know where she's at. One of these days I'm going to meet that lady. She is interesting. Into Stones. Yeah, Bill. Yeah, go ahead and call in, Bill. I'll be glad to talk to you. There's Tim Zuhl. He's shooting in with his hands in the air. Tim's a paranormal investigator back east, and he is a really good friend. And one hell of a paranormal electronics designer. I like his style. That guy, I pointed him the right way at a couple of things. He took and ran with it and ended up with a whole bunch of things he was building. Let's see, Earthbound Angel, hello. I remember you. Gerber is here. We've got guests 7819 and 7872, you're both from France. And then we've got Jay Pulley. Hi, Jay. And then JB34 and Karen Kinsell, the beautiful Karen Kinsell out there. She used to be in Kansas. I don't know where she is. I know she moves around. She actually just, she probably has a tent, and she just pitches her tent where she wants to live, and we see her around. She's still in Kansas. She's still in Kansas. I'm living on plains, Karen. Yeah, there, Karen. A big tent. She says a big tent. And we got Sarah Marie, 333. It's better than the other numbers, because the other guy was calling. I really got
yeah.
that. You know, I still have the ability to detect a BS artist. Do you know what I mean? So,
yes.
I
yeah.
catch them. I really
yeah.
enjoyed that. And we've got Special Family Connection, my dear friend down there in Roseville. Hello. And we've got Tim Zuhl, who I was talking about earlier. And we have the entire universe. The entire big tamale, the big one. The universe is listening to us. So I'm really I'm just thrilled to have them on. So if you want to call in and share your story there, Bill, pop on and I will let you in. Intuition is our best built-in BS detector. Yeah, you know, I mean, when the guys start, I mean, I've heard these guys come on and try that stuff before, and you just the second you hear it, you just know, and you're
absolutely.
I catch feeling like I could just feel it, the energy coming
yeah.
off, and I knew,
yeah.
oh boy, this is gonna be good, because I knew he was going to jump on and start screaming some obscenities and then hang up and think he was hot stuff. So,
and as soon
as
he started talking, I was like mentally projecting to you. I'm like, this one.
Well, no, I'm getting better about it. I mean, it's, but I really think I may end up advertising ahead of time, especially on Facebook, and just say if you want a reading, pre-register, and then I'll dial
That's
in for
idea.
You. And, you know, you have to be in the chat room and acknowledge you're there, and then I'll dial into you, and I'll pick the next one on the list and just work my way down. And I think
well,
that'll be the way we do it, you know, because
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's why a lot of the major radio shows, they have call screeners that actually handle the call first and decide whether or not it's a legitimate caller before they actually put them on the air, to, you know, with the host. So
yeah.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, the studio tools we have are so much better than we had when I first started back in 2008. I mean, it's, you know, for all the things that Blog Talk has had trouble with, there's a lot of things they've done good with, you know. So I like that feature, and I'm probably going to end up using it quite a bit. John Hu, I stumbled in, don't know who I'm hearing. Well, let me introduce you to myself, universe. I am John Almada. I am a medium from Northern California. I live out in the gold country of California. I'm actually living on top of a gold mine out here, and not only that, the gold mine is haunted. We have our own resident spirits. I run a small paranormal team called Ghost Rider Investigations. We've been on hiatus for a while, but we're going to be doing some cases in the Sierra Nevadas, where I'm in the foothills of the Sierras. And so we're going to be doing a bunch of that. I've done a lot of different things. I've even been on TV once. I was on Sci-Fi Channel, Haunted Highway. They did an episode where I had picked up some EVPs back in 2008, and they got wind of it, and we got talking, and the producers liked me, and so I ended up on Sci-Fi Channel, and so I had a great time with that. But I've had just a blast doing work all over the place, and I'm a docent aboard the USS Hornet. I go in, and I'm a resident medium, and I do I lead teams through as part of the crew, so I'm a member of the Hornet crew. And what else do I do? I work in the spaceflight and spacecraft industry. I was a senior corporate webmaster for a large aerospace company and still remain so. Although I'm looking at retirement. I'm coming up on 30 years in a bit, and I want to do this work full-time and end up doing my readings and that kind of thing, and kind of leave it for you youngins to figure out how to defend the country. I've done my bit, so. But, yeah, I do a little bit of that. So, universe, I hope that answers some questions and gets you kind of a feel for what we do. The normal format of the show is that we do readings on air, and we will I do different kinds of readings. I will do, standard mediumship stuff. We also do on-air electronic voice phenomena where I will have you ask questions, and we will do a live recording using different radio technology I have to bring in different spirits and be able to interpret what's being said and deliver a message from spirit. And I developed that technology back in 2010, and it's been really pretty cool. I've learned a lot. Found out what works, what doesn't, and the other side is just really a great friend. They've been real patient with me, and they've been a big inspiration. So they put up with my shenanigans and teach me a thing or two along the way. And believe me, I'm most humbled by them because I'm just a human telephone for them. They really want to get it through that you do survive death, that you do live on, and that there's really nothing to fear about the process of dying, because it's just leaving your body behind. It's leaving that comfortable coat you wore for a while, and you go back to your real home, and you hang out with all the people you love and all that. And that's the message we constantly reinforce here. And we've had so many wonderful stories, so many beautiful things happen here. And Brenda gets on and reads with me occasionally, and we just have a wonderful time. So,
yes, we do.
And we've both been gotten our butts kicked by life. That's why we've been out of it for a while. Oh, universe, it was interesting bio. Thanks for that. Great to hear and make your acquaintance. And great to make your acquaintance, too. Thank you for listening in and just popping in to see us. So there's a reason you're here. So I hope to see you tomorrow. We'll be doing some more. And maybe we'll even hear from this Tina Marie lady. She's a real nice gal. She's into bowling. She's like big in bowling. I
really?
Saw that. And it's always interesting to see somebody who has all these extraordinary talents, and then they do something really, really like, bowling? You're into bowling? Okay. That's just, yeah. I mean, I'm into ham radio. Okay. This is cool. They're throwing balls at little pins that do their best to avoid being hit. Can you imagine being the bowling pin? That's a rough life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throwing these balls at you and going, oh, please don't hit me again. I hate this part.
You're created for the sole purpose of just getting run over all the time.
Yeah, these poor trees, they get dropped, they get cut up, and they get, the wood is all, so this little, all these cells of wood are sitting there going, so this is the whole purpose for my being.
Right.
To be a bowling pin. I don't know. Oh, God. Well, I'm losing a little bit of the audience. It's good to see you. Oh, Vico Dan's in here. Hello, Vico. Good to see you. I know I've seen that name around. So, but it's good to have you guys in. I don't know what happened to that one guy. He was going to dial in. Yeah, he just disappeared. I was expecting to see the call, and I was watching for it, and I didn't see anybody. Well, hey, if any of you guys want to call in, we got about 10 minutes left, and just say hi. Get on the phone. Give me a call. Say something to us. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, Brenda, let's talk a little bit about your mediumship. When did you find out about spirits, and how did it happen for you?
You know, I remember from a very young age as a child, I didn't really understand what was going on with me, but I know I always had trouble sleeping in pure darkness at night, and I always would have to have some sort of white noise on because I would see flashes of light sometimes in the darkness, and I would hear not really voices but kind of faint mumbling. But I know it started at a very young age. And as I got older and into my teenage years, I began understanding a little bit more about what it was that I was actually feeling and what was actually happening. So I started studying the mediumship a little bit more to understand how to hone in on it a little bit more and use it to actually help people. But with me, it's actually just feelings and sensations and kind of images that I will see or feel. And I was always taught that you say the first thing that comes to you. You don't sort of let your conscious kind of talk you out of actually believing that what you're seeing is real. You just say it when you first see it, and usually that first thought is right.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's I went through mediumship school, and one of the things that they really drum through to you is to quit editing, just get it out there,
right?
And,
right.
Because a telephone doesn't sit around and think about what it's going to say; it just dutifully repeats the message, that is spoken, and does its job. And that's basically what we mediums do. And it's the hardest thing in the world because, the whole connection between us and the other side is very imperfect. And
right.
There are going to be mistranslations, but we do our best. And if you get an image, if you get an image, you just write it down or you blurt it out and you let the chips fall where they may. And I can't tell you the number of times I've sat there and edited out something and then found out, I thought, no, there's no way that could be. And then you find out when it does come up later and you say it, thinking that you're going to look ridiculous, you find out that you were right on the money. So it's a process of learning to just let go and let be and just trust and let them run the show. And, the only thing I notice when I'm doing readings, and I don't know about you, but when I come out, I am literally drained. I mean, the energy. And you drink a lot of water, you're just like, you come out like way thirsty and you just, it's a lot of work, so you can really burn it up doing this work.
And the other part of it too is a lot of times I'll completely forget what the reading was about or who I ever even did the reading for. When I've done readings for people in person, I'll have them come up to me at a later date and they're like, do you remember you did a reading for me? And it's like, I don't remember a lot of times. Sometimes I do, but other times I don't, because it's sort of like you're just letting that gift out to the other person and then it leaves you and it's gone.
Yeah. It's funny. I remember so many shows here that we've done in the past few years where that's happened. I mean, I'll do a reading and it's, 6 weeks later, I'll get a call from someone and they'll mention the past reading I did for them and I'll go, huh? I said that? And then and you just kind of are blown away, but there are a few that that stick with you, you just remember reading it for whatever reason, and it's just a neat thing, and you have your regulars that dial in. The one thing I do notice is that, we get the folks, you start recognizing voices when they call in, and some of them are, they really want you to kind of tell them how to live.
Exactly.
The whole point of readings is they're an occasional treat. You shouldn't be depending on readings to tell you what to do with your life. But the other side is really concerned more about your need for a message, your need for these things that we do, passing on the messages, and they shouldn't be really any more than 3 to 6 months between readings. You know, anything faster than that, it's probably not the best thing. And I know people who go from medium to medium looking for a message. And if I could give any advice to people, it's lower the frequency. You know, you don't need that. You know, if you take the message you're given and really apply that, you're going to find that in the long term that benefits you. And so in my, you know, when I do my private practice, I'm going to be pretty firm with that. If I have, if I've seen you in 2 months ago, I'm not going to see you. You know, it's not time. You know, you're not ready. And if you want to go see somebody else, have at it. But it's really not the best thing. And I've just seen too much of it, you know, and it's something I've come through. And when I talked to my teacher about that, she absolutely agreed with me. You know, she said that's exactly how it should be. And but I know people who will do readings, you know, they'll read anybody and anytime, any number of times, you know, and I don't think, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with that. You know, I think there's a reason for keeping it that way. So anyway,
absolutely.
I'm going off on a tangent.
No, I agree with you completely on that. I would actually say 6 months to a year before having another, unless there's some sort of major life event that happens. But I would say 6 months to a year before having another reading.
Yeah, you know, it's funny is I do really well with strangers and people. I'm meaning strangers, you know, even folks who've dialed in before, but they're not my family. And I find I can't, for the life of me, read my family. I can read people that are not related to me, no trouble, but I can't read myself for sure, and I sure as heck can't read my family. And so I just have to kind of put that on hold and say, you know, you're not going to need somebody else because I can't do this. I don't know if that's the same way for you, because it's just you're too close to these people, you know.
Right, and I can't read for myself either. I think it's because you feel or see certain things and you're trying to talk yourself out of it. It's like, no, that can't be what's going to happen or how it's going to go. So it's hard to – I've always had a hard time reading for myself.
Yeah.
And for people that I'm really close to.
It's, you know, the thing is, and it's trusting other mediums to read you. I had an experience some months back, 6-7 months ago, where I was read on air by someone, and it was really surprising because it was right at a time I was a little bit vulnerable, I'll have to admit it, and some things were said that were utterly wrong, but the damage was done. And I kind of looked at it and went, wow, I'm going to need to go back and think about this. And over time, I finally realized, you know, that person who did that reading, they were wrong, utterly wrong. And I just decided to hell with it. I'm going to get back in the game. And the other side really worked double time to get me back in this chair. So I am definitely going to be doing this. Now, we're coming up towards the end of the show here. So this, I would say this would be a success. This
too.
A shakedown of Studio A.
And I have to tell you something. I've been up since about 4 o'clock in the morning because we had to go to the airport this morning early. So I've been up all day, and I'm surprised I actually made sense talking to you tonight.
Well, thank you for doing that. Yeah, because it's you know, I appreciate it because I was looking at it. I thought, well, I don't know if Nancy's going to be around, and you popped on. And I went, oh, thank God, I got a co-host because I'm not going to be out there alone. You know?
No, it was funny. It just something hit me. I was sitting on my couch, and I'm like, I need to let John know that I can call in if he needs me to tonight.
Well, thank you, because you saved my butt, and you know, it's just good to get the gear all working again. Everything's looking ship shape here now. Well, tomorrow we're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff, and I hope to see all of you. I'm going to just say the names out loud right now. I got Earthbound Angel, Gerber Daisy TM, guest 7819, and Jay Pulley, Karen Kinsell, the Kansas City tent lady who goes around making the world a better place. A special family connection out in Rosa. Hello. Hello, Deborah. We got Tim Zuhl, my buddy Tim Zuhl out there in the eastern coast of the East United States, and he's watching for spirits out there. Universe 23, a good new friend. Hello. and Vicodin. So, and it's good to hear all you guys popping in here, too. So thank you for wishing me well. We've got about 30 seconds remaining. This is Soulstream, and good to be back here, and you will see more of us again. And we are going to be pretty much a regular process now. Now that things have stabilized somewhat. So, Brenda, thank you for being on, my dear.
You're very welcome, and I will be on with you tomorrow night, too.
Okay, hon. Well, you take care.
You too.
Okay, and that's it. Love you guys. See you tomorrow. All right, we're off stream.
We are.
Hello. And we're still recording, so don't see anything completely crazy. Because that was good.
It was good. Yeah. I'm kind of impressed with myself with no sleep.
Well, you did great. I'm just tickled pink. It feels good to be back in the chair. It's almost like I never left. So, yeah, you know. It is, you know. But, hey, I was proud of myself. I kicked some butt and took names of all those wannabes. I mean, that one guy, he was just trying to stir it up. And I just shut him off.
My stomach dropped as soon as you started talking. I was like, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah, I just knew he was going to be off in the weeds, and I just went, wow.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to close down this. And, well, hey, you know what? Get some sleep, and I'm going to be up early in the morning. I know you'll be asleep, but I'm going to be off taking my ham radio test, so wish me well.
You will pass it. I have absolute faith that you will pass it. You already know all of that stuff.
Well, I'm passing the exams because we have there's a place called Ham Radio hamexam.org, I think is the name of it, and it's free tests. You know, you just go out there and you take the test over and over again, and all the different questions. And I'm passing with 97% and 100% almost every time now. So tomorrow morning it'll be interesting to see. But I should be a tech class ham by the time you hear me tomorrow. And,
that is awesome.
Yep, so I won't have my station ID until about 2 weeks. I appear in the FCC's database, and then I'll have a station ID, and then I can research getting a good transmitter and start my work out in the broadcast band doing some interesting stuff. So, but anyway, well, hey, darling, why don't you go get some sleep, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, well, with that, this is Soulstream. We're going to go ahead and sign it off and see you guys tomorrow. Sweet dreams, and thanks for tuning in.
Good night.
Good night, Brenda. And with that, let's see. I'm going to play a little bumper music just to take us out. Let's see. I haven't played anything in a while. It's trying to find what I have sitting in the... Here we go. We'll take this one and sign us off. Country.
I was getting kind of tired of her in the chatter. Nothing I could say ever seemed to matter. So I took a little dive just to clear my head. I saw a flashing neon up ahead. It looked like a place to find some satisfaction. With a little less talk and a lot more action. I paid the man at the door and pushed my way to the bar. Shouted for a drink over a screaming guitar. Drug on the stool, tried to mess with my head. But I didn't even listen to a word he said. I knew somewhere and a lot more action. Little less talk, if you please. A lot more loving is what I need. Let's get on down to the main attraction. With a little less talk and a lot more action. Somebody please get me out of here.